Welcome back to RBKD. It is a 512 Friday. That's when we play local bands, local artists that you can go see yourself, actually. My man Patrick Davis does a great job. You can hit him up via Twitter with any questions or comments, compliments, if you have any as well. You can give those at It's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn is at KevinDunn01. Patrick, who is this?
Man, this is the Archangels. They're a legendary band here in Austin. They're doing a reunion little show, a few tours around Austin, around Texas, and then doing a big show Monday night, a big VIP show for Austin Cares concert, so a big charity event happening as well. It's going to be very cool at ACL Live on Monday. Very excited because I got tickets to it, so I'll be enjoying it very much on Monday.
Very cool.
It's a beautiful thing. There you go. And for good cause. That's also a beautiful thing.
These guys are like, there's two guitar player singers. One went on to be the music director for Bob Dylan. One went on to be the music director for Eric Clapton.
Hey.
So, I've heard of them.
Man. Yeah.
So, I mean, this song right here is about Paradise Cafe. If you remember those good times down at Paradise Cafe.
It's a pretty big deal right there. There you go. My man Patrick is, he's well-versed and knowledgeable about all the other music that happens here in town, because he himself is a musician. So we appreciate all of his efforts. And he is the one that came up with a 512 Friday, which is a damn good idea. Some people are upset because we had to get rid of Country Music Friday. But
there can be country music in that.
Exactly.
So we're opening it up.
Just send it down. Hit me up on the Twitterverse.
Hit him up in the Twitterverse.
Hey, what do you play? You play the bass?
No, see, I didn't play much. I really didn't play much. I was more a crew guy who came in loading gear when I was a senior in high school.
I knew that, but I never really played much around. Your dad did.
My dad was a bass player. So I've been around music my whole life and then not very talented. So they were like, "Here, lift this, set
this up." It's not true. It's not true. You're like Bones Fossil.
Wow.
I don't think he didn't play, but he knows football, and he's just lived it his whole life.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I know enough about him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So
put the instrument in my
hand. Drop a fake punt in the break. And then don't do hurry up after it, okay?
Oh, don't do that.
I rewatched that game before I deleted it. Rewatched it yesterday because there was nothing on. And that made no sense.
Oh, you know
what?
Stop
overthinking this.
Some people said that play was worse than the quarterback draw late in the game, or as bad I mean, that was bad. Either way.
Obviously,
I don't know what the purpose of it was.
The quarterback draw, you've got the game on the line, so you could certainly claim that's worse. But in terms of just peculiar, that one, I was like, what were y'all trying to do?
And then they got the playoff game, and did they ask Mike McCarthy what the purpose of that was?
I don't think they did. I think they were stuck on
everybody
other
was
stuff.
Stuck on the other play. And I was like, I wanted to know what the purpose of the I don't know what they did. They basically left the punt team out there.
They did, and they looked like they were getting like maybe into a wildcat.
Yeah, then, they were going to run a play.
But you're also milking the clock, and you're not in a position to be doing that at that point. And you didn't do anything.
Oh, how about this though? Speaking of that Dak play, the draw play with under 17 seconds left, and then the clock runs out. Turns out, how about this? Michael Gelkin, I'll give him credit, at Gelkin NFL. He found a game in 2020, week 13 of 2020, Jaguars at the Vikings, right? A game nobody gives a damn about, where indeed they did the exact same thing, essentially same scenario as the Cowboys were in. In the game with the Vikings, there are 13, I believe, there are 13 seconds left. Right, and the Jacksonville Jaguars have the ball, and they are trying to advance it, and they hand the ball off. The game was tied, 24 apiece. Jacksonville started at their own 41-yard line, 13 seconds left in the game, no timeouts. They hand the ball off to the running back, pick up 15 yards, got to the line of scrimmage, and the official just touched the ball. The center kept it. Put it down, and the ref comes it, and you can see clearly he just touches it and then walks away. Does not actually spot the ball, just touched it. So there is at least one example of it. Jacksonville ended up missing the 62-yard field goal, and ultimately lost in, I think it was in overtime, actually. But, yeah, so, I mean, this is one example. I haven't watched it enough. I mean, that's something I guess you can keep an eye on if you're a real football fan, what they do in those crucial situations. But usually the ref spots it. Either way, you could argue Dak and the coaches that they were ill-prepared.
Yeah, and you can't trust them to just touch it.
Always plan for the worst.
Right.
You can't trust them to just touch it. That was out of context.
There we go.
He just reached over, touched just the tip, and walked away.
That's essentially what the ref did. He just touched it and walked away. And I was like, wow, that is, and it's video evidence of
he
it.
Took
week 13
it
of 2020.
What?
Well, sometimes, I know what, I'm not even going to go there.
You need to go Kramer. They got to breathe.
Sometimes you got to breathe.
And that was the boxer episode, wasn't it?
Oh, man.
Where he was changing underwear and then went just nothing.
Then he went to nothing? Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's out there, Jerry, and loving every minute of it.
Loving every minute of it. Oh, man. All right. Let's get back to the conversation. No, less commando conversation and
yes.
more conversation about the 40 acres. All right. So Texas basketball will be hosting Oklahoma State coming up this weekend.
12:30 tomorrow, pregame.
Big game for Texas, bouncing back after a very disappointing loss to K-State. It's one of those things where you usually expect Chris Beard to correct, to at least highlight certain things, prioritize certain things that may have lost in the game versus K-State. What is that going to be? Is it just offensive ineptitude? Is it what is it?
I mean that seems to be it.
What will be the focal point going into this game that lost in the game versus K-State?
You saw your best Marcus Carr, you saw a really good Timmy Allen, and as he said, we need one other person to step up. You can't have those droughts. You can't have 3.5 minutes, especially to finish a game.
Yeah.
And so K-State was going to be physical with them. I think it's a combination of that, but also looking at the game that they played in Stillwater, where Oklahoma State won by 13 and Texas just looked awful. They turned the ball over, 14 times, and then off of that, you had 18 points for the Cowboys off of the turnovers. And then they had Keelan Boone, who came off the bench. Their bench points were great. They had 26, 17 of those coming from Keelan Boone. So that would talk about the other players and someone else stepping up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, talking about an Oklahoma State team that, I mean, in terms of what they play for, because they're not making it to the postseason, they've been banned from the postseason for one year, correct?
Yep.
It's amazing that they're still playing as hard as they play. I mean, Chris Beard brought it up. They brought back a lot of people. He actually said that, you know, they are one of the outliers in this transfer portal era. They've had a lot of guys, even considering, except banned from the postseason, a lot of guys stick around. And that even after Cade Cunningham left, too, a lot of guys want to stick around with the program. So, yeah, I mean, Longhorns looking for some payback versus Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's a big thing. It's Chris Beard's thing all year is bring that energy, bring it early, bring it at the end of the first half, bring it at the beginning of the second half. But you have to be able to come out and not get down when that offense starts to struggle. Put more effort into it. Put more energy into it. Move more without the ball instead of trying to get in, kind of getting stuck in these, well, if we're not hitting shots, now we're all passing up shots, and now it's – like, I just don't want to see him take shots with less than 10 seconds on the shot clock over and over again, because those seem to be the stretches where things start to go downhill, because even when they do hit shots, they're desperation shots.
Yeah.
So they're fun to watch, but at the same part, you're like, you need to be taking shots within the first 20 seconds, not the last 10.
Yeah, they're fun to watch if you don't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you're rooting for Texas, you're thinking, well, you have to get a better shot. And the offense certainly is something that we talked about a lot, and understandably so. I mean, our eyes see that, and the numbers bear that out. But defensively, in UT's three Big 12 wins, they've really held their opponents, and they've held them to 56 points per game, 40% field goal shooting. In their three Big 12 losses, they've given up 70 points per game and combined 47% field goal shooting. And a lot of that's been guys being able to actually, like Kansas State did the first half, just get to the bucket.
Well, and not only that, though, if you're looking at that and just comparing it to the transition buckets and buckets off of misses and being able to catch Texas not being able to set up, because of the defense, you want to hit the basket, everyone sets, and then you can play your defense. But if you're on your heels constantly because you're constantly missing shots, you're going for offensive rebounds, you're running back down the court, they have speed, they're getting to the basket, then that you're going to get behind the eight ball. And so it's so much, even your defense there relies on your offense being productive so that you can counteract.
Yep.
Just them being able to keep you on your heels.
Yeah.
I would like to get Dylan Dessou going and going early. And feed him and allow him to operate on the block. And then, because, you know, there's been a drop off with him. And remember, he came in late, obviously, with the injury. So I completely understand it. He's got kind of a different timetable than some other guys right now. But get him back to the Dylan Dessou that we saw a couple weeks ago.
I mean, 2 minutes. What do you have playing time last game?
Man, maybe 10.
Maybe something like that.
But
and it's because a lot of it is he's been having some problems with turnovers. And a lot of it stems when they put him in with another big that he's trying to get the ball from around 15 to 20 feet inside and is just making somewhat poor decisions. He's telegraphing his passes. So someone just jumps over and pucks the ball out because he sits there and goes, I'm going to throw this ball. I'm going to throw it to you. Hey, in 3, 2, 1, and it got stolen.
A little telegraph.
You know, and so there's a point to if he can get down and you go, hey, maybe he's playing him without Bishop or Trey Mitchell and playing him in a position where he's the only big. You get him down in a little bit of space in the post. Maybe that can get him more if we're trying to get him more involved. Yeah, and I also like trying to get him involved while he's moving and not necessarily just posted up because he's freakishly athletic. So you want to get him where he's cutting to a basket a lot more and instead of just necessarily throwing it down to him and having him put it on the ground. The less he's having to control the ball, the better, the happier I am with this.
That's a good point.
All right, so that'll be tomorrow. That'll be pregame at 12:30 and the tip at 1. You can hear that right here on the horn. Rod, you see the story about Tech fans finding the UT code?
Yeah, I did. Barstool had it.
Of course they did.
Okay, so
explain this to everyone.
Yeah, see, okay, so Barstool put this out there today. This is the headline. Texas Tech fans found the code to buy University of Texas tickets and crashed UT's website, selling out their game in Austin. For those wanting to go to the game, of course, it's February, like February 19th. But some dude found the code. Is El Jefe is what he calls himself.
I didn't realize there was a code. Anyone can buy tickets, right?
Yeah,
I thought so.
I never knew there was a code either. That's where this story loses me.
Yeah.
I never knew. That maybe if you're out of market, it's different.
Okay. I have no idea.
But yeah, I never knew there was a code.
And we shouldn't have had to be Bevo. That was a little too on the nose.
I'll admit, I've never had to go buy tickets.
Wait, you know what the code was?
I don't know. We're
in that boat.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm not even gonna lie. I don't have to buy tickets.
But the code was Horns 21. It's not like it was a secret code.
It was Texas 21 is what it says.
Texas 21. Yeah, but it was like it was something where they just posted it on an Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't something where the Texas Tech really cracked
this code. Columbo.
Hey, Red Raiders fans, come on down, have a good time, cheer all you want. We don't care.
Yeah, I really don't
want basketball. Look, I'd prefer if we could sell it out and everybody.
Yeah.
But I don't care. Go cheer. It's what sports are about.
If you
bought the tickets, come cheer.
Free country, free world.
Stop pretending that you got one over on us for giving us money, though.
Yeah, no. I agree with you on that, too. It's the same thing when people buy the decals and flip them upside down. Yeah. It's like, appreciate the cash. Or even put the horns down. We're like, well, you're not even playing Texas, so what the hell are you doing? I get it, but I think the big story is that they crashed the website. There was such an influx of people trying to buy tickets.
Not surprising, from
Lubbock, if you were a Texas Tech fans, that they crashed it. Because I agree with Patrick, it's not like they hacked into the system or anything. The code was there because Texas wants people to buy tickets so they can collect the cash. But the fact that you could get, it might be half Red Raider fans in that damn place.
All right, but let's be real. Do you think that they sold it out? Do you think that they will be over half the crowd?
Well, I don't know because I don't know how many tickets they're buying, but they're buying tickets other places too.
If you crash the site, that's sold out to me. If you don't sell it out after you crashed our site, that means our site sucks. Not that you did anything.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a ton.
There's going to be a good amount.
More than I've ever seen.
I think there's going to be a ton of Texas Tech fans. I think there's going to be a ton of Texas Tech fans selling tickets they bought when they realized they don't want to drive down to Austin on a Saturday morning.
I think there's going to be
a lot of Texas Tech fans there. But I mean, I think there was going to be a ton of Texas Tech fan there anyway.
They're making a road trip. They've been talking about it for a while, and they smell blood. They smell blood because Texas right now isn't as good as Texas Tech. So they're coming.
You think there's going to be more than Baylor or Kansas because both of them always have good crowds.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be much worse?
Yeah,
yes.
This year will be. Yeah.
I think there will be Texas Tech fans there. I don't think it's going to be as bad as people think it is.
I think this year will be.
And Texas won't be in the Big 12 for much longer either. Oh, yeah, it's going to be
now,
bad.
And Texas Tech, when they bring out the Nature Boy, I think that one's going to be crazy up at Texas.
He's going to that, huh?
That's Nature Boy posted it. Ric Flair said he is going to be a part. Well, you just pay him. You pay him to show up and give your team a pep talk.
It's not like he is a Texas Tech fan.
Honestly, Texas, if you have any donors out here who want to pay him more, I guarantee he'll take a heel turn halfway at halftime. He'll walk out in a burnt orange shirt.
Very true.
The dirtiest player in the game. You pay him more money, he'll be on Longhorn for life.
Woo! The nature boy. Yeah. Hey, I pay money to see Ric Flair. I still love me some Ric Flair, man.
Oh, is that one of your guys?
Oh, nature boy's the man.
You
man,
you know I got a signed Ric Flair boot
riding,
in my house.
Jet flying. You got a
signed Ric Flair wrestling boot in my house.
Man, that's bad. That's awesome. That's,
I've heard Chad do it before. There's some rhyming going on.
Oh no, Ric Flair would have been a great motivational speaker or a televangelist if he hadn't become a wrestler, and probably would have made more money, honestly, as a televangelist, because he'd have been great at it. Unbelievable.
He would have nailed it. Here's a guy who nails it. That's Sam Dude with Barton Creek Lending Group. If it's time, it is time to pay those credit cards after all the holiday spending. You're actually living in a pretty good time to get rid of that debt. All you got to do is call my buddy Sam Dude, Barton Creek Lending Group, when you're ready to refi your home or maybe buy a new one. Rates are the lowest they've ever been, and Sam can save most borrowers thousands of dollars in interest. He's a really smart guy, really sharp guy, and understands the market. So if you're buying a home, I would definitely reach out to Sam. But hey, if you're just trying to refinance, Sam's your dude. Sam's your guy as well. He's also your dude at homeloandude.com. It's homeloandude.com. He's done multiple refis for people in the office. And Scotty Bennett just could not stop bragging about him. Said, man, this guy is awesome. You're exactly right about Sam Dude. So find out for yourself. It's Sam Dude, Barton Creek Lending Group, local mortgage lender, family guy, and a friend. We teased it, so we can get into it here just a little bit before we get to One and Done and maybe get into it a little bit later. But we got some spring enrollees, Rod, that we're thinking about right now. And we've talked about some of the spring battles that we expect to see. But, man, how important is it, especially now with this team, to get guys that could maybe help out in for the spring?
Yeah, the Longhorns, I believe, of the 26 players they signed, 11 of them plan to enroll early. Quinn Ewers and Malik Murphy, so that's good. Got two of your quarterbacks in early. You're going to need those guys to be able to, I mean, especially if they're competing for a starting spot. At least we know that for Quinn Ewers, that's going to be the case. Terrence Brooks, the cornerback, also good news because Terrence Brooks, whose father played at A&M. And
came up with the Wrecking Crew.
Exactly. And his dad is a DB coach. Like, he's like a DB footwork coach, an independent one. Terrence Brooks will have a chance to start or compete for a starting spot even as a freshman. Also, B.J. Allen is coming in, safety. So you got two DBs coming in early, and you need a lot of help. So you need to infuse some talent in your defensive backfield. I think both of those guys got a chance to give you at least contributing starting reps as freshmen, just because you need it. You need to infuse some talent back there. Jaden Blue, the running back, also coming as an early enrollee. Justice Finkley on the D-line. Going to need at least one or two of your young D-linemen to contribute early, especially if they can be a pass rusher, a natural pass rusher.
And there are a couple guys, Ethan Burke included, who are definitely projects. And yes, I don't mean that as a dig.
No.
I think they're going to be – I really like the offer to Burke. I think he could be a damn good football player. It's just going to take some time.
Oh, yeah. I mean –
it's not going to be next year.
Jatavion Sanders is the highest-rated prospect in your class last year.
Right.
Project, pretty
just
much.
Just wasn't playing the right position.
Well, you know what?
And that's not a shout on the coaches. That's keeping him there.
I was going to say, he would hit the transfer portal if you forced him to play a position he didn't want to. Jalen Gilbo, cornerback. I'm not sure he's going to play early like the other two, but I could be off there. I haven't watched enough film on him, but I think Terrence Brooks and B.J. Allen are going to play early. Jerry Bledsoe is the latest defensive lineman to decide that he is going to be an early enrollee, as well as Aaron Bryant, another defensive lineman. So you got some of the young D linemen coming in early. Offensive lineman coming in early. Cole Hudson will be one of those guys. And then Xavion Bryce, he's an athlete coming in. He's going to be an early enrollee as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got some guys, your quarterback coming in early, you got two of those. You need those guys to be able to, you know, master as much of the playbook as possible, as early as possible, as soon as possible. And those two DBs coming in, two highest-rated DBs in your recruiting class, you're going to need those guys to contribute right away. We've talked about what a letdown, what a disappointment, the defensive backfield was, especially in run support.
And then Ryan Watt?
Ryan Watts, yeah, exactly. I mean, he's a transfer, so I'm assuming.
I would think he's – no, actually, I know he's in because I saw him tweet that.
Yeah, Jaleel Billingsley is here too. Like, he's already on campus, I mean. So
those are also feel like spring enrollees.
I agree, yeah, exactly. All those guys are already in.
A little Texas football for you there. January 25th, we're going to find out if Roger Clemens, if Barry Bonds – Kurt Schilling, David Ortiz. There are some big names, but also big stories surrounding it if they're going to get into the Hall of Fame. I'll get into that a little bit and also talk some AFC young quarterbacks.
I like that five-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Let's do a little one and done in KD style as we a little potpourri because I do want to get into the AFC quarterbacks and kind of where that is moving. We touched on it briefly this week. Don't forget to get to hornfm.com if you want to check out any of the shows this week. And we always have a good Saturday lineup as well. So you'll be set to go for that tomorrow with Texas pregame coming to you at 12:30. So January 25th, guys, is the Hall of Fame. It's when the Hall of Fame ballots are due for this year's Hall of Fame. And we've got some guys, including David Ortiz, who's probably going to get in. Now, one of the weird things is that you can get to, there's actually a tracker online, and it's updated. In fact, their last update was today. And it'll give you public ballots, 165 public ballots, and will show you kind of where they're sitting right now. You have to have 75% to get in. We've talked about how hard it is to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm okay with that because it's a Hall of Fame. If you're going to be an elitist, do it at that level. If you want to separate a museum, then go for it. Even with that said, I still think they're too tight on it. There's some guys that either just feel like Hall of Famers or have the numbers to really back that up, and they're not getting in. And then there's all this other weird stuff that goes into it. So Kurt Schilling is a Hall of Famer. Kurt Schilling right now is sitting at 61%, 60.6% of the public vote.
There you go.
And it's all about his mouth and all about his politics. Now, not even politically, but just some of the other stuff he said, I thought, wow, what? But that should never influence your vote. Like, he would have been voted in for me, even though I don't necessarily want to hang out with the guy.
It's weird because, but I would say
can we separate that?
No, we can. We should separate it. Back in the day, though, honestly, you would have never known his political view back in the day.
Without Twitter?
We're in a new era where there is, and he's actually kind of a political, like, commentator at times, right? He's been on like different news shows giving his political opinion, I guess. Too. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, he was on one until his business went under, and then they were like, we can't have you as a businessman if you're not a good businessman.
So the game is kind of changing where now you do know how these athletes feel politically. It shouldn't sway you about, you know, their Hall of Fame candidacy, but it does. It does. They're human, so they vote with their human emotions.
Yeah, it does. So Bonds got 62% of the vote last year after being named on 74% of the public ballots. One thing when you look at this, it's really funny. The public ballots, you always drop. You drop about 8% is the average. So this is that whole people may talk to someone when they're polling them with voting rod and political voting or any voting, and you give a different answer than maybe what you're really going to do or what you did.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
It happens
exactly
a lot.
It happens a lot. That's why they're trying to recalibrate how they do their polls now.
Yeah. So if you're looking at where he's at right now, and he's actually gone up. I mentioned the 73%. He's actually over right now. He's about 76% is Bonds, and that would be enough. But if you look at traditionally how this works, it's not going to be enough because he's not going to get 75%. He's only gained two new voters that we know of with the public ballots. I don't think that he's going to get in. And once again, Barry Bonds, what he did, it's different than Kurt Schilling, because Kurt Schilling, none of that should affect the Hall of Fame voting. Mm. I get why some of these voters are looking at these guys, but here's my problem, is that if you're going to keep out Bonds and Clemens, who easily were Hall of Famers, what is Pudge Rodriguez doing? David Ortiz? I know there was just that one little 2013 story. Get the hell out of here. You watched him at Minnesota and then what he just did in Boston. Were some of those mechanical swing adjustments? Absolutely. Was there something else probably going on considering what we know? Or does it at least keep it open that, hey, I'm not sure about what was going on there?
Yeah.
You can't pick and choose with these guys, and that's what these voters are doing.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. And that's exactly what they're doing. And some of it's based on, you know, kind of popularity among the
no
members
doubt.
Of the media.
David Ortiz is very popular.
He's very popular among members of the media, so they, you know, they look past certain things. I'm with you. I always felt like the Hall of Fame is supposed to be essentially a museum telling the story of the game, and you can't tell the story of baseball without Barry Bonds.
No, you can't.
It's crazy.
But Bonds and Clemens are on their last run here. So yeah. Bonds is at 77%. Clemens is at 76%. Once again, if you go with that 8% or around there, it's not going to take much. It could take, heck, 2 or 3%. And Clemens, with his public ballots and the real ballots we get January 25th, that's probably going to dip below that. Some other guys that are still on there, Alex Rodriguez is a Hall of Famer. He's at 41%.
Man.
Now, he's got more time, but he's at 41%. So we do know that these voters, because they're baseball voters, they're gonna make these guys pay for it, right? So we're definitely not getting in early. You may get in on the last one, but that's going to be us when you should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's going to be us showing you that we know something was going on. You're still going to get in. Manny Ramirez is at 38%. Manny Ramirez is a Hall of Famer. And yes, I think was roiding up to go with A-Rod, to go with David Ortiz, to go with Barry Bonds, to go with Roger Clemens, to go with a lot of these guys that we have questions about. And at the end of the day, you blame baseball because they let the Wild West turn into this, and now it's really messing with history 10, 15, 20 years down the line.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do if they don't disallow Barry Bonds into the Hall of Fame. It delegitimizes, right?
The Hall of Fame.
It loses credibility.
Yes, I'm with you. They think it's gaining credibility. It actually loses credibility.
Yeah, and especially when you go, hey, well, he did this, and you're like, well, all right, let's go back in history and see how many of these people were racist and bigots and misogynists, and how many of these people cheated in their own way, but they didn't use steroids, but they did other cheating things, or things we now consider cheating. All right, well, now we knock off, what, 100 people out of there?
Right.
Yeah, so we can't use that as a prerequisite and then honor these and not show you and go, look, it's baseball field. Let's put it on the baseball field and go there. And then if you want to tell the story afterwards and put whatever you want to put on it, I'm fine with it. But say the story starts with Barry Bonds was one of the greatest hitters of all time. Now we can go from there.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
That's it.
Tell the real story.
And Roger Clemens was one of the best pitchers of all time.
Yes.
And then we can go from there.
This guy sold more tickets than anyone you've ever met.
Right.
So they get in the Hall of Fame.
With Bonds, too, it's a lot more obvious probably when he started juicing. I mean, with the head and everything. And so, yeah. I understand being pissed off about it, and I don't feel great about that time in baseball either, but it was going on. So here's Schilling. Schilling hit a high water mark of 71% of the vote last voting cycle.
Man.
That's close.
He was right there.
And so, but now his public... he's tracking at 59%. He's lost 21 votes, and apparently, I didn't even click on it because I don't want to get into it. I don't care what he said. It probably was really stupid.
You know,
but they said he virtually set himself on fire again. He lost 21 votes because of a tweet.
Wow.
Is this what we're voting on?
What was the tweet? I want to see the tweet.
I know. During the break, I'll fire it up for us. And like I said, not defending Curt Schilling. I've seen some tweets where I just thought, man, I don't even know if that's political or what, but what the hell?
I fully can understand as an organization being like, hey, we don't want to give this guy a pedestal to stand on to preach whatever he's going to preach.
This isn't an organization, though.
Hey, but that's what I'm saying. It's not an organization. And I get if the MLB Network or whoever's carrying the Hall of Fame speech goes, we don't want to air his speech, or we'll air it, but we're going to see what he says first. It won't be live. I'm fine with that because that's your company and you can do what you want. But if we're talking the Baseball Hall of Fame and you want to have this sanctimonious approach that you're this holier-than-thou organization that stands for everything good in baseball, then come on.
Right.
And also,
why is Ty Cobb in there?
Mark, without
Are we going to pull him out?
Without Mark McGwire, without Sammy Sosa, without Barry Bonds, the MLB may not be what it is right now. So we can say all the bad things we want about steroids, but it was fun to watch.
There was a huge draw. I don't remember a summer of people that didn't like baseball that were actually watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, if you want to talk about it, be like, look, y'all are in a strike right now, too. In a lockout. So y'all may miss more baseball. And the thing that saved you last time was these guys. Go back to the well.
Wow.
Go pull him back out one more time.
Juice him up.
Yeah. Hey, man, shoot him up right before the ceremony.
Hey, juice the balls.
Throw some balls.
Hey, juice the balls instead.
That's the other thing. Since all this stuff, we have juice balls, we have spider tack, we have real proof that the balls are different.
They
and then they change them.
Yeah.
We know, because MLB came out mid-season, very MLB, with spider tack.
Hmm.
Like, there's been a lot of cheating going on. And it's always been... if you can cheat in baseball, you do it.
If you can get away with it.
It's one of the things I love about it.
Right?
Like, hey, we got to catch you.
Don't be the Astros and get caught. That's
no.
All.
That's right.
But even after the Astros, other teams came out and were like, you know, I don't think people realize how close other teams were to what they were doing.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's constantly happening. It's part of baseball. Baseball, too Little League baseball. There is a Little League World Series scandal once every 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
So it's part of, it's ingrained in baseball.
That kid's not 13.
Yeah.
When did he start shaving?
Hey, man, I'm pretty sure that kid lives next door to me and he's playing for Chicago.
Right.
What is happening?
There's some Baseball Hall of Fame stuff. We'll give you that January 25th to see if any of those guys got in. I do think Ortiz will probably get in, but that's still close. I mean, that's close enough where that could be right at 75%. Okay, we talked about this a little bit, AFC East. And if you're looking at the, if you're trying to predict and project which conference could really be the dominant conference moving forward, well, the number one thing you look at is young quarterbacks.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
And we're talking about, I'll go through it, Josh Allen, we don't know with Tua. Mac Jones looks good. We have no idea with Zach Wilson. Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, we don't know with Cleveland. Pittsburgh's about to be hitting that spot. Heck, can you imagine if Deshaun Watson was in on this? Add to my point, which is going to be overwhelming when you really hear it, because I went through it today. Indianapolis, Sam Ellinger is going to be the next big thing. No, they don't really know where they're at. You got Trevor Lawrence. You've got Tannehill, who's been much better than we ever thought. Denver could be a spot where an Aaron Rodgers makes that leap, where this thing could be even more overwhelming. Man. Derek Carr, Justin Herbert, Pat Mahomes. That's your conference with young quarterbacks.
Wow. Yes, and if you're Aaron Rodgers, who's
I stay away from it.
I'm with you. I pull a LeBron. I'm like, nah, I'm just gonna stay. In
stay
East.
Away.
Like LeBron stay in the East forever. Like, nah, I'm good. I'd stay in the.
I've got limited trips,
NFC.
And I want an easier path.
Right. I mean, Russell Wilson. I mean, he's struggling because the Seahawks are going through a overhaul, if you will. We think they're gonna go through an overhaul. There's nobody left in the NFC. I guess Dak to challenge you.
So you've got Dak. Giants, no. Eagles, no. Washington, no. Bears, we don't know anything about Fields. Lions, no. Packers, Rodgers at the very end. Vikings, Kirk Cousins. Matt Ryan's almost done. Carolina doesn't have one. New Orleans doesn't have one. Brady's at the end. Kyler Murray, Matt Stafford, Jimmy G, maybe Trey Lance, and then Russell Wilson. I just gave you that list. If you're looking at young quarterbacks, guys, it's not even close. I mean, the AFC is loaded with them.
Yeah, that is extremely lopsided. I guess you could get, I don't know, maybe you could get Deshaun Watson going to an NFC team when all that is settled. But once you get a franchise quarterback, you never let them go.
No.
So those guys are going to stay in the AFC basically
Mahomes,
until they get to be 35.
Herbert, they're not
or
going anywhere. Allen, yeah,
for
they're
the
not
next
going anywhere.
12 to 15 years.
Probably Mac Jones. It's not Burrow.
Yeah.
With Burrow really coming into his own, though, I'm looking at it, and the East has the best young quarterback is Josh Allen. North, my opinion, the best young quarterback is going to be Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
South, we don't really know yet. I still think Lawrence is going to be fantastic. And then the West is loaded with it. With you've got Carr's not young, but you've got Mahomes and Herbert. Like every division has a badass that anyone would take.
That's a good point, man. Like you said, they're really young. That's 10, 12 years of that. Of you having to get used to that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the NFC is going to do, especially if Aaron Rodgers. What if he ends up going to the AFC somehow to Denver, right? Denver right now has been one of the names thrown out there.
It has been.
Oh, man.
My guess is Denver is going to have either Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson this year.
Yeah.
Total guess.
No, but I agree with that.
There's enough smoke there.
They're going to try to make a move. Yeah. That's why I think they're going to try to get a young, hot offensive mind, too. But maybe they'll go with Dan Quinn. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But it's funny because we talked about it. You got four teams left in the AFC, and the one seed has the worst quarterback, who's been really good. I get it. But he's not like the other three. There's a difference there.
Yeah, but, man, Tannehill wins.
I know. He's been winning, man.
They win with
Tannehill. He's been winning. I'll take the other three any day of the week. There's a little one and done for you up next off the record. We got a Cowboys fan who got caught with his side piece.
D.D. Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a break my head comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! F***ing thing sucks!
Welcome back to RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. And this one is about a very, very sad Cowboys fan. Of course, Cowboys fans out there, all of you, were really upset and sad after the 49ers beat the Cowboys in the wild card round.
Some classic shots, man.
Shots at the crowd, stuff like that. Well, in one of the shots at the crowd, apparently they showed a really distraught Cowboys fan, and he was hugging a young lady, all right? He was comforting a young lady there. Yeah, I'm actually watching right now, and you can see the devastated looks on Cowboys fans' faces. Very nervous here. Because they're replaying the game. Was it NFL Network we're watching?
Yeah.
So one of the shots, these shots in the of the fans in the stands was of this guy, like I said, looked like he was on the verge of tears, but he was consoling a young lady. And apparently he was on for so long. I mean, I guess he was up there for a good 2.5-3 seconds.
He was up there.
Like a lot of people.
He had a huge silver chain.
Yeah, a lot of people ended up getting like screenshots of this guy, ended up getting pictures of him. And the young lady that he was with apparently wasn't his girlfriend. It was his side piece.
Uh-oh.
We know this because his girlfriend took to social media to call out her philandering boyfriend after he was spotted on national television during one of the biggest football games of the year.
Poor woman. I mean, you know how many texts you know how embarrassing that is.
That's exactly what happened. She said, okay, here's the actual tweet, the caption she put out there on social media. I believe it was on Instagram. She said, "Hi, everyone. Yes, this is my trash ex who is a serial cheater, and that is his side chick. We are no longer together, and we haven't been for a while, but he continues to lie all day, every day, just like he lied about this trip when he swore it was a guy's trip. He also told me he had cut this girl off, but clearly that was another lie. I normally wouldn't post my business, but literally my phone is blowing up, and while I appreciate you guys sending me this picture, I don't need to see it anymore." She's all over the place.
Okay, hold on here.
She's all over the place.
2 days in a row I've backed up the woman in these scenarios.
She's all over
right?
the place. Yeah, because unless
I'm not going to back up this DB, but there are some holes in that, right?
Yeah, okay, let's reread this because there are some holes. She says, "Hi, everyone. Yes, this is my trash ex who is a serial cheater." And I'm assuming he's the ex because she just broke up with him.
That's what I thought.
But then she says,
because of this, right?
Yes, because of this incident. And then she says, "And that is his side chick. We are no longer together, and we haven't been for a while."
Whoa, ding, ding, ding. We haven't been for so a while. It's not his side piece then.
Yeah,
it's,
that's the chick he's dating
right now.
Or whatever.
Now, it could be
just
with another chick.
Could be a side piece. Who knows? Yeah, we don't know, but you shouldn't be concerned about it if y'all broke up, like you said, a while ago.
And you know he's a serial cheater. And he's trash, apparently.
And then she goes on to say, "But he continues to lie all day, every day."
Well,
so she's obviously still communicating with him.
Yes.
Just like he lied about this trip. So they broke it up.
He's probably like, "Baby, I still want to be back
together."
Yeah,
so he's
but me and my boys are going to the game.
They're still knocking boots. That's
yeah.
me.
They're
still,
yeah,
they still
are.
Getting it on.
They are.
Now they're friends with benefits. They used to be together.
Right.
But he cheated on and got caught. So she broke up with him because she's got self-respect. But she's still letting him, you know, get down.
Yep.
And she.
And now he's dating the daughter from the Addams Family.
And now he's. but yeah, she said he lied about this trip when he swore it was a guy's trip. Well, it could have still been a guy's trip. Just ended up hanging out with the chick, too.
Yeah.
He also told me.
But she knew the chick.
He also told me he had cut ties with this girl. He had cut this girl off, is what she said. He had told me he had cut this girl off.
Yeah, this
but
guy's
clearly,
a lot more game than
that was
looks.
Another lie. Yeah. So he's still banging it out with the ex, friends with benefits, and he's obviously got a new chick and getting it on with her. So,
women, most
that's a lot of energy, though.
A lot of y'all know this. Not most of y'all. I'm splitting stuff into half here
yeah.
with billions of people on Earth. But guys with cheating, they, man, rarely does that change. If he's like that, that's the way it's going to be.
Okay.
And you know, I'm very open to change. I think people do change. I think that, you know, you've got to see it kind of put, they've got to put it together for a little while.
It depends on what age.
You know what? He's really changed.
Depends on what age they are when they're cheating. Because I know people when they're young, were just, you know
no,
what I mean?
I don't mean if you cheated when you were 19 and now you're married
college,
at 30, it means that you're cheating on
her. So I'm like, serious relationships probably
but
post-college.
But he's old enough, and there's obviously enough history there.
Yeah.
That's what he's going
to
do.
It's like, be what you are. Say, I'm not going to be in a relationship then. If I'm going
to
cheat, I'm not going to be in a relationship.
And apparently he's created leverage in this thing if you're his ex and you're still this torn up by it.
Oh, no, she still wants him.
They're still knocking boots.
Yeah, I'm saying they're still getting it on because she's emotionally still. Because if not, she would never post it. She would just say, oh, girl, we broke up a while ago. He is trash. I don't give a damn about him.
Dating but, Adam's family over here.
But she...
hot Adam's family. I'll give her that.
Oh,
she did do the one thing I can't stand when people do online where they go, look, everybody, I know everybody's been reaching out. I'll just put it up here and you're like, so you've got two texts. Yeah, two. Two people are like, hey, man, do you see Marcus is up there? He's hanging out with that old girl? And you're like, yeah. And you see two, and you're like, I got to post this up here.
Right.
Because it's just all day and night I'll be answering phone calls and texts. No, two people texted you. You ain't that important.
Maybe she's an influencer. She's trying to get some. She's trying to go
viral.
No, she
wants to be an influencer. She ain't influencing nobody.
This guy
she couldn't influence him to stop fooling around.
Right. There's no influencing at all.
This guy does
look like to fight guy at NFL game.
He looks like a serial philanderer. He looks like a guy that likes to cheat on his women, and that's just what he does.
Was that the look or the chain or the hair? The man bun.
He looks like a guy who would make fun of you for not hooking up with somebody. Like, he's like, I'm hooking up with three people right now. If you're not, then you're not even straight.
Right.
Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, because he's got a chain on. He's got like an actual chain, not like a gold chain.
No, a chain.
It's a chain, like a one that you would use to chain up a bicycle or something even bigger than that. And I don't know what the chain is for.
Oh, he's ready. He's ready for the fights this weekend. He's going to take another side piece of the fights this weekend.
Oh, he's definitely an MMA fan. You're right. I can see that, too. Yeah, got that. All right.
We just stereotyped him down.
No.
Just that guy who watches enough UFC that he's like, I'll put you in an arm bar. You're like, how do you do that?
Right.
You grab, say, get the arm, right? You get the arm.
It's about angles.
It's about angles, man. Get it done. All right, we come back. We'll get back to the NFL playoffs, get back to the NFL playoff preview. We'll break down the Kansas City-Buffalo game, get to that Bucks. That Bucks matchup, too, is going to be interesting, so we'll talk about that as well. All of that and more coming back here on RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260.